How many of you realize there were 12 tribes in Israel, and one of the tribes' name was Issachar? And this is sort of a well-known verse and sort of a well-known tribe because they were unique. And did you get that address? 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. Could we read that together out loud while he's getting that? See if we can do this at once, okay? Oh, there it is. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, number one. And how many of you realize this is generic? It's women too. Okay. Men that had understanding of the times, number one, to know what Israel ought to do, number two. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. All right, three. Three things that we see about this tribe that were put in the Holy Writ, as it were, for all time. Apparently this is important to God, and this is part of the keys to why they had understanding of the times and seasons. One of the things is that, first of all, we see they're a prophetic people. Just leave it up there. They had understanding of the times. That's a prophet, isn't it? A prophet can see what the Lord is doing. He's an appointed spokesman for God, and he speaks into our generation and into our circumstances the mind of God. The next thing is they had understanding. Oh, they knew what their nation ought to do. That's apostolic. Okay, it's the ability to steer the course and according to the purposes of God. Just that sense of knowing what the right way things should be going. They just knew this. And the third thing is the heads of them were 200 and all their brethren were at their commandment. This speaks of a covenant community, a community that's not under a contract. You know, it's like if it doesn't work out, there's not agreement, we break the agreement, you know. A contract is just based on agreement, isn't it? You know, a set of rules and regulations, you know, it's legislated, something on the outside. It's just made externally. But a covenant is something that comes from the inside. If I were to say, you must be here at 9 o'clock every Sunday, all right? What's your immediate reaction? Well, I'll show him. You know, we're supposed to have authority over all the things that creep the earth and bugs and plants and whatever, but not over people, okay? And so whenever you try to exercise authority, it's always resisted. And it should be, because God put something in us. I want to be free. Remember? Freedom! Great. Movie. And all the men go, yeah. Freedom! Okay, so in any case, but if I appeal to you on the basis of covenantal love and say, hey, I'm just so excited to be with you. Could you come a little early so we can have some time to just visit with one another instead of just, hi, how you doing, as we run out of the building? Or sometimes we're praying for people we don't get to visit with you. So it's the kind of thing like, if you appeal on the basis of covenantal love, it's a much higher way to go. And this tribe had apparently all these things in order. And as a result of that, they had a prophetic insight into the times and seasons of what the Lord was doing. And I really think that speaks to us in our generation. And I think we need to understand that God is doing something as he brings us together in covenantal love. And that's something that grows. Okay, it's not something that you just turn a switch and it happens. You've got to work at it. And fellowship, when we look at Acts chapter 2 and following, one of the dynamics that was set in place was fellowship. They fellowshiped around the table of communion. They fellowshiped one with another house to house, breaking bread. And they also gave themselves to the teaching of the word. So we see these dynamics in the New Testament as carryovers over of this. And that's what creates a prophetic center that is able to pierce the heavenlies and do awesome things in the place of God's purposes. So now what we want to do is turn to Amos chapter 9 and verse 11, because this scripture speaks of something that God is wanting to do in the earth today. It's a prophecy that speaks of the day we now live. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that does this, or doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Now, just a moment. Let's just take a look at this. Go back. We're getting to the gardens in a minute. But behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, the plowman shall overtake the reaper. You know what that's speaking of? The days we now live, when God is going to accelerate the natural order of things. There's going to become a continuous harvest that as soon as you plant it, it's going to be ready for harvest. We're talking about an acceleration of time. This is a time the prophetic voice was speaking of and longing for, and we're in it. How many of you realize God's speeding things up because he's coming again and he's got something in mind? It's called the worldwide harvest. You know what I mean? And everything's picking up a little bit, you know? I mean, you're looking at banks that have been around for 150 years in a day collapse. You're looking at the whole thing just collapse around us, and people are saying it couldn't happen, and it is. Things are speeding up. And in a day, things happen that literally change the course of our history, and it's baffling in a way. But this is what the Lord was speaking of. He says, the days are going to come. And he says, in respect to this, he's saying, I'm going to raise up the tabernacle of David. Because that's going to be the standard that's going to overcome all that's happening. Let's just go on. Next verse. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the way cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Like the vineyards, don't you? Raise some grapes. Okay, move on. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. And I think we've run out of Bible, haven't we? Yes, good. That's, yours is like mine. That's it, okay? Amos is done. But he's giving an eternal prophecy here. He's talking about Israel. He says, I'm going to plant them in their land. They shall no more be pulled up. Isn't it amazing right now how there's nations, particularly Iran, that is threatening to rip Israel up and throw it into the sea? You know, just drive it into the sea. God has other plans. Next week is a time where we've been asked to join all the churches across the nation in specific prayer and remembrance of Israel. And I say this in just sort of preamble for next week. And we have some material that we would like you to avail yourself of on your way out. Will it be on the back table? Or it was in the bulletin? Okay, great. You have it in your bulletins. Look it over. We're going to have a time of prayer for Israel. And it's very important that we remember Israel in our prayers, because their peace determines our peace. When Israel's at war, so will our nation. And we're directly linked to this. How many of you realize that Jesus was not Jewish? He is Jewish. Yes, he is Jewish. And when he comes back, he is coming back Jewish to the Jewish nation. Read your Bible. All right. So, I mean, it's important to him. It's got to be important to us. All right. So we're going to pray and agree. And that's good. Now, I bring this all up because it speaks here of the tabernacle of David. Eldon Wilson did a wonderful job in explaining how the tabernacle of David is really the door that God is going to open up to the Gentiles. Okay, in the last days, he's going to open up a door. Remember, through Cornelius in his home, he's meeting with a bunch of uncircumcised centurions and that sort of thing, and the Spirit of God just sovereignly falls, and you know, literally just God begins to move across the Gentile nations, and continues to do so, and that's a major aspect of this tabernacle. But how many of you also realize the tabernacle of David was also a house of prayer? 24 hours a day, there was prayer. 24 hours a day, there was praise. All right? And also, it was a covenantal community. All right? There was a mountain that you went up, and there was a tent on that, and the tent was open. Before, it was closed. You couldn't get in there. The Holy of Holies was closed, and only the priest could get in there once a year. And if he tried to get in any other time, he'd be struck dead. David! He got this incredible revelation. Man, just put the ark right out there, open it wide up so everybody can come. Man, what a prophet. And there was a city within a city. You could go into Jerusalem and never go up to Zion. You could be part of the people of God and yet never go up to Zion and partake of something deeper and richer that literally was changing the nation and was responsible for where the course of the nation was going. How many of you realize that under David, the borders of Israel reached their largest expansion of all time? Not even Solomon was able to increase the borders. He certainly did change the interior and built many buildings and stuff that David provided for. But, you know, David literally established something that literally changed the course of the nation and had impact that we're still feeling today. It's so important that God says, in the last days, I'm going to raise up something similar. I'm going to raise up this tabernacle of David. So it's a covenantal community. And that's one thing I really feel the Lord really stressing right now. He's saying, you know, saints, put it in overdrive. Make every opportunity to come out to the home meetings, to come out to times of prayer, to come out to times of fellowship. You know, just be there. Begin to bond. Begin to interact. Begin to allow the processes that God does in the fellowshipping process to just get you out of your comfort zone and into that place of interaction with God. I mean, you can be in the church and yet never go into the Mount Zion experience where you experience the high praises of God and all the spiritual encountering that takes place up on the mountaintop. And the last thing about the tabernacle of David is the word of the Lord was preached there. It was the preceding word of God. It was what God was saying to his generation in his time. Okay, it wasn't something canned that was 10 years old. It was fresh manna. It was fresh oil, right? And David was anointed with fresh oil, you know, and that carried out throughout his whole ministry. So this speaks of just tremendous import, because we live in a time right now where there is a tension in the kingdom of God and in the world today. There's basically two kingdoms, represented by Islam, militant Islam, and then there's the kingdom of God. I mean, the two are just clashing. You know, Israel, even though it's an atheistic nation, does represent as a covenant community to God. God has not broken his covenant with them. And as a result of that, he's coming again for them, and he's going to redeem them in a day. You know, I mean, it's going to happen like boom, you know, and something is happening to hinder that. How many know the Lord wants to bless this nation? He wants to bless this nation. He wants to bless Israel. But something is interfering with the blessing. He wants to release to us. How many of you realize that God wants to bless you above and beyond all that you could ask or think? He wants to open up the windows of heaven that you have not room enough to contain it. How many people can say, I've arrived? I'm there. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, there's just something that's withholding the fullness of God. All right. And I believe that what's hindering it is something that's happened in the spiritual realm. I believe in the heavenlies, where the demonic realm lives. There's this, the first, second heavens, which represent the earth and the air. And how many of you realize that the demonic realm represents the principalities of the air? Okay, devil's not in hell. He's up in the airwaves. And his job is just to interfere with the works of God. You know, things that God wants to do. Remember Daniel? In Daniel chapter 9 and 10, you know, he's praying and, you know, Michael's sent and he's resisted. Mighty Michael is resisted for 21 days, you know, and finally gets through because of the persistence of Daniel. We understand these things. All right. I believe right now that there's something going on that is attracting spiritual power, and it's called blood sacrifice. How many of you realize that blood sacrifice is understood by every cast of humanity? I mean, even if they have never heard the Lord, whatever, there's always an understanding that somehow if you sacrifice something living and spill its blood, it does something in the heavenlies. It activates spiritual power. How many of you realize that? That blood living sacrifice activates spiritual power. Now, every day, mothers of radical Muslim families are encouraging their children as their life goal is to blow themselves up and give their lives as a blood sacrifice. And I believe that that's part to the god Moloch, which in the Old Testament was the god of child sacrifice. In the East, it's militant Islam. In the West, it's abortion. But in fact, it's estimated that over 1 billion children in this nation have been sacrificed to the god of convenience. That's 1 billion people who possibly might have come up with the cure for cancer, who might have come up with the cure for AIDS, wiped out. And we see it in the natural. But believe me, every time a human being or is sacrificed and its blood is shed, it activates spiritual power. And if it's done in the name of secular humanism, which is a religion, or it's done in the name of militant Islam, which is a religion, it releases spiritual power. And I believe that spiritual power clogs the airways and hinders the activity of God. Okay? The scripture, please. Well, I'm glad you asked that. Isaiah 59. Oh, you want to know where? Nice. How about, I can't read my writing. I'll tell you, I can't read my writing. So let's go to Isaiah 60 and we'll back up. Our printer's not working. I couldn't print my notes. And I. Hey, careful. All right. All right, now we're going to go backwards, and we're going to the verse that says that the Lord raises up the standard. I think it's it's really on a good flow. Goodness, I got to learn to write meter. 18, maybe. When the enemy comes, 19. Oh, thank you. Let's go to verse 19 of Isaiah 59. Let's hear it for David. Thank you. Okay, yes. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, which is in the east. Okay, remember the west? Abortion, the East, militant Islam. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, what? The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Folks, the greater the reports come of how things look worser and worser, the more we need to prophesy the good news of the kingdom over our circumstances. The worse things get, the more we just need to say, but God has said. All right, because let's go on. What did he say? And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. That's the tabernacle of David or the church, the redeemed church. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. By the way, can I say this? There's one thing about coming up and praying a prayer. There's another thing about going to the cross and being born again. And we are living in a day where there's a crossless Christianity that is becoming more and more predominant. And we need to say, wait a moment. You know, it's not popular. It's not going to make you win elections, but this is the way it is. It's the blood. And you got to go to the cross. All right. That turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Yes. As for me, this is my covenant with them. See, this is he's a covenant, God establishing a covenant community, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, they shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. I'm going somewhere with this, so hang on. Go on. We can do this. Oh, that's right. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That's the good news. All right? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. That's a smile. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now, hallelujah. Now, gross darkness shall cover the people. But I got a scripture for you. And that is 1 Peter 2:9. How do we clear the airwaves? If all this child sacrifice is going on, all this blood's being spilt, and all the spiritual activity is being released, what can we do? Well, God said in the last days he's going to raise up the tabernacle of David. And he's going to take a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of what? Darkness. Into his marvelous light. I believe there's evidence here to say that whenever we gather and we pray together or we praise together, we are corporately clearing the airwaves for the blessing of God to be released, not just in our area, in our own personal lives, but literally to the nations of the earth. This gives tremendous significance to our gathering. So it's very important that we come as a covenant community. We love one another. We really like one another. We really enjoy each other's company. That's why we fellowship. And then we come in here and we just let it rip. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord shall just shine upon us as we really get into this thing. Hey, you know what? I can lift my hands and this person to the left and this one, they like me. You know, they're not looking at me. They're not judging me. God likes me. He's not judging me. You know, and here's the thing that's so cool. Jesus gave a sacrifice of his own blood once and for all. It's done. You don't have to go out and sacrifice the ceremonial pig. You know what I mean? You don't have to do that now. All you have to do is offer up continuously, Hebrews 13:15, the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. And what you're doing is you're clearing the airways. You're making a way for the King of Glory to come and just fill this area. And I believe that we're doing something in behalf of Israel and the nation there. And that's why it's so important that we gather to pray for the nation, that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But not just that, but we praise and we worship him and we recognize that it's nothing more than literally life transforming, as if it were a sacrifice being rendered on the altar. Now, think of this. There was one guy, before an entire nation. His name was Elijah. And he goes up to this mountain and he stands before them. He says, who are you going to choose? And they go, huh? He says, choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? And they answered him not a word. And so he stood before 450 prophets of Asherah and Baal. That's the female and male counterpart of a murderous spirit. It's called the spirit of control, a spirit of Jezebel. It's so similar to this Islam spirit we're dealing with. Because it's, you know, when they come into a community, they said, you're going to become a Muslim or you die. I mean, you know, it's great for numbers. You know, you move, well, sometimes if they're stubborn, you know, you lose quite a few. But, you know, I mean, generally you go into, yeah, sure, okay, you know, I'll add you on. But the point of it all is, he withstood all those, and whenever they tried to do their mumbo jumbo, what do? They cut themselves. Why did they cut themselves? Because they knew that that would release spiritual activity in their behalf. They had done it before, and it's like, you know, sometimes what we'll do is intensify our prayer and our spiritual experience with fasting. Okay, that'll be our sacrifice. And we know it intensifies things. And many times, the answers to prayer don't come unless we do that, should the Lord direct. You understand that? And they understood that by cutting themselves. So they did that. And he mocked them. He just stood there and he says, maybe your God's gone to the bathroom. You know, maybe he's, you know, forgot you. You know, maybe he can't hear you. Shout louder. So they shouted louder. One guy withstood all those people. And they couldn't operate. And then what does he do? He builds an altar and he offers spiritual sacrifices. Now, this was looking forward to the day when Jesus would once and for all offer himself. But that one sacrifice brought fire from heaven. Boy, sure cleared the airways, got things done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what I'm saying? Well, how much more? A company of people in covenant love. Moving together, one shall chase 1,000, two 10,000. Oh, my goodness. Lord, have mercy. This thing can really have impact. Why do you think the Lord's been working us over so, the enemy's been working us over so hard, trying to, you know, get us and go in different directions? Because the greatest thing we have is our unity. And that brings the commanded blessing. And the commanded blessing is the opening of the airwaves. Oh, come on. You can feel it when people love you. I mean, when people are with you, as I feel it right now, I just feel just, you know, the sky's the limit. You feel like a stick could get up here and prophesy. And I mean, liberty, freedom, and the Holy Ghost to just make a mistake and it won't matter. It's like, hey, come on. We're trying to speak for the Spirit of God in our generation. And it's like, you know, like Kathy singing the prophetic song. I think it's beautiful. I love it. I love it when Debbie sings out and just brings the word of the Lord in song. And others who, you know, might just generally be passed over. But these folks, you know, they spend their day in intercession and prayer. They're clearing the highway for the Spirit of God to come and rest in our midst. And the Lord says, you know, you're the church, you're the tabernacle. It's not a building anymore. It's you and me. And I just want to encourage you, perhaps stuff you already know. The Bible says, by him, therefore, offer up. Come on, let's put that back on. David, put by him there if I want them to see it. Oh, that's a good one too. Hebrews 13:15. By him, it says by him therefore. In other words, he's going to help you. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thank God, we don't have to slay anything. I mean, you know, when I was in Maine, I was thinking of getting a shotgun and going out after a moose and seeing what Sarah's all about. But, you know what I mean? I'm glad I don't have to do that in order to go to church. You know, I'd be really messy. But, I mean, God made a way where we just open up our mouths. And it's like every time a child is sacrificed in the name of radical Islam, and we counter that with praise to God. We just lift up our lips and begin. That thing's canceled out. I believe it's canceled out. And I believe that there's a movement of the Spirit to get us to really pray. Where did that scripture go, David? Goodness. Are we wearing out the bulb or something? Okay, praise. It says praise to God continually. Hallelujah. You know, let it be continually on your lips. And I want to encourage you, you are the tabernacle of David. You are that house of praise. And as you go around, I'll tell you, Debbie literally just bathes our house in praise continuously. I mean, her job, outside of juicing, one day a week or so, is she just sings and she just worships the Lord all day. It's a pretty good gig. But I'll tell you, it's like the house of Hope at Eden. I mean, I don't know if you folks felt it when you came. But, I mean, there's just this, oh, I mean, this is great. You just come in there and say, oh, I mean, it's not more, it's not just being over 50. It's just, there's peace. I mean, it's just, there's something there. And I believe, you know, the airways are just, I just get a clarity and whatever, and I just sense, whoa, this is so good. And it encourages me to just in my spirit throughout the day, just offer up a continuous worship. I always have something going through my head, you know, like raindrops falling on my head, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Jesus rose from the dead. And I'm going ahead. You know what I mean? And you just begin to go and just worship the Lord and just carry on. I mean, however you connect, I mean, but just go on with the Lord. One time I was hammering something and I hit my thumb. And I just looked at it and it was turning blue and it was the blood was underneath and it was turning black and it was really nasty. And I was just trying to not go back to my BC days, you know. And I was just going this and that made it worse, you know. And just in a flash, the Lord just zeroed me into what my spirit was doing at that moment. And I remember the song it was singing. One of those songs that I really didn't like, that they seem to sing every week. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I mean, you know, it's not one of the deepest songs, you know. It's like, but I mean, and on the banjo and guitar, I mean, it was just like, it was just, whoa, boy. But it was the pastor's favorite song, and we just did that every week, and sometimes ad nauseum, you know. So it was really in my spirit, you know. And the Holy Spirit's singing this song while I'm in agony. And he's having a worship service while I'm carrying on with all my pain. And he spoke to me. He said, why don't you join me? I said, what I have to lose? So I lifted up my hand and just sang that song. Tried to get into the presence of God. I brought my hand down I kind of just was transported somewhere. I brought my hand down. It was completely healed, you know, and it was like, whoa. And the Lord is trying to show me the power of praise. You know, I mean, it was one of those, you know, you get this by revelation. You know, you've got to kind of get this into your heart. And you've got to know this because, you know, there are times when you really are trying to break through the heavens of brass. And it's just, you know, and you say, well, Lord, you said by him, that means you would help me. But you feel all alone and you're starting the praise process and you feel like you're just slugging it out by yourself. The scripture says by him. And I just find that you just are convinced. Your heart is fixed. And as you continue to just press in, there will be a moment of breakthrough. I mean, that's just how it is. And that's how it was for me. And the Lord was just showing me. He says, this releases the airwaves and releases the blessing of God. Now, I wish I had this thing in the pocket so that every time, you know, I could just release this thing. But I'm sensing that it's different in the spirit here than it was 20 years ago. And I attribute that not to my good looks, my eloquence of preaching, the way that I dynamically bring forth them. None of that. It's the corporate praises of God's people coming together whenever they can to just release the heavens. And it's getting better over this region. I mean, things that are happening in the Harp and Bowl are amazing. The pastors get together Monday night, and it's just so sweet. And I mean, we're different people because of what God's been doing in the Spirit through your praises. And I just want to encourage you, when we come together, you can probably be sure the sound's not going to behave initially like it should. And I'll tell you, we are working on this thing. We can't work on it this Friday because we have Harp and Bowl. They come in and they just tear the whole thing apart. And then we spend a couple weeks trying to put it back together. But we're getting better at it. But please pray for us that we can, you know, really produce a professional sound that comes forth. I mean, it's on our heart to do. But sometimes, despite our best efforts, it falls apart miserably. And yet, the Lord says, worship me. Worship me. So, you know what? I think the Lord's just saying, he's just giving you practice to sing louder than the worship team. You know, it's just overwhelm us. And that'd be just fine. Because sometimes, when the worship team's so good, you just sit back and go, yeah, it's a concert. And we don't want that. You see, it's all about us ministering to Him. And that's what's so important, that we, each and individually and corporately, offer up the sacrifice of praise. And you know, also, could I say, with regards to the power of blood sacrifice, how important communion must be. Corporately, we come together. I mean, think of this. And we offer a blood sacrifice unto the King of Kings. Because He said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. What are we remembering? The one sacrifice that once and for all settled things. And when we do that, you know, the early church did that every single time they got together. It says that they broke bread continuously. I mean, that, whoa, there's some revelation there. Maybe the Lord might be speaking to us, maybe to do that more often. Wouldn't be a bad thing to do when you get together for a home meeting, have communion. Barb's got some really good grape juice, I hear. And, yeah, just let it flow. But you see, there's things that we do, if we understand what we're doing, carry tremendous spiritual power. And the trouble is that after doing them for a while and maybe undergoing some degree of resistance, we might lose heart. And we might begin to think, you know, what's the use? What's the point? What's the point of getting to church early? You know, I mean, come on. I mean, nobody will miss me. I'm not that important. I'm not that significant. I mean, what difference does it make? Well, it does make a difference. You know, what difference does it make if others sing and I just sort of like, well, then you're making other people your servant. But Jesus came to minister to us. And we're to be like Christ. So we're to serve one another in the ministry of fellowship, one unto another. And we do this out of a heart, not of constraint, except by the Spirit of God. You know what I mean? It's just something, oh, this honors the Lord. This magnifies the Father. This advances the purposes of the kingdom of God. This gives tremendous significance to what we do. Because I'll tell you, it is difficult to get 10 churches together and worship for 2 hours. I mean, it's tough. We're finding that, you know, there needs to be some word in there, too. I mean, it's just tough to sustain that. But I believe that as we get a revelation more and more as we go into these last days of the power of praise and worship and the power of seeing the heavens opened through concentrated ministry unto the Lord, that there's going to be more and more of a fervor. It's interesting. We hear these reports in England. 15, 20, 30,000 pastors are getting together for a single conference. And they're praising the Lord for 3 or 4 hours. And they're just worshiping God. I mean, these are English vicars who are of the Church of England who've been born again. In the midst of the darkness, God's raising up a standard. Folks, the darker it looks, the more we have to proclaim that the Lord's raising up a standard. It's not what CNN says. It's not what the world says. I don't care what they say about this or that, the other thing. The Word of God says it's going to raise up a standard. And the world is going to come to the glory of His coming. And we're living in those days because He's raising up a people prophetically, aren't looking at things in the natural, but prophetically in the Spirit. So the worse your day is, the more you've got to go to it to release that blessing. And God will give you opportunity to practice, won't He? You know what I mean? He's going to give you opportunity. So, you know, this morning I'm moving something, I break a mirror. That's 7 years bad luck. No way. I start saying, thank you, Jesus. I bless you, God. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak on worship today and praise. Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Lord. You know, and so, I mean, you know, He'll give you opportunity. But the point of it all is you enter into that your whole, and when you think positive thoughts and worship, happy thoughts and stuff like that, oh, they get filled up. You know what I mean? So, you know, you don't want to SpongeBob brains. You know what I mean? You want to, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hallelujah. So, I mean, it's a good thing, the Bible says, to give praise unto the Lord Most High. So let's just stand and let's just give a shout to the Lord, and we're going to close today. Father, I just pray that you just renew our fervency for the things that you're fervent about. Lord, it's so easy to cool down. It's so easy to become cold. You said in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. Be it far from us. Lord, let us get hotter. Let us burn hotter for you. Let us become more committed, more fervent, more passionate as we grow in you. And Lord, we ask that you come near and help us, that by you we are able to offer up the sacrifice of praise continuously. That is even praise to our God. So, Father, I praise you and I ask you that you strengthen with might each and every one here. That, Father, they might lift up a victory shout all throughout their long life and throughout the days of the weeks that follow. And, Lord, that you would just strengthen them for the course that they've been set upon. And that, Lord, we would see the heavens open and the glory of God fill this region like never before. Father, grant us a greater sense of determination and purpose as we go from here. And Lord, grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to confirm to our spirits by personal revelation the power of prayer and worship, that we might be that tabernacle of David that continuously ministers to you throughout the day. Father, I bless you and I praise you. And everyone said, let's give the Lord a victory shout. Hallelujah! Yes! We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.